Sigmund Bloom, at Sigmund Bloom on Twitter. He's the co-owner and partner of footballguys.com. Knows his football through and through. He's a big, big fantasy football guy as well. And a former NFL draft lead writer for Bleacher Report. So, Sigmund, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. And obviously, the NFL is on everyone's mind.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just going to get more and more exciting and interesting. And we have a legitimate college football championship game also sprinkled in there. So it's a great time to be a football fan.
Oh, man, you're kidding me, right? Let's delve into that before we go NFL. Just your thoughts on Mariota, Winston moving forward, but and then on top of it, the Ducks and the Buckeyes going forward too. But first things first, what do you think if Winston and Mariota both come out? Kind of compare those two maybe moving forward as a rookie.
Well, Mariota has the athleticism that may fit in more of an offense that asks the quarterback to be a mobile, a Chip Kelly-style offense. James Winston's more of a classic pocket passer. Now, that being said, I'm not 100% sure Winston's going to enter the draft. We have to wait and see that. But I think Winston, because of the character concerns, would clearly be behind Mariota and could even be in for a draft day fall. A fall out of, say, the top five or top six. As far as the national championship game goes, this is the future we were promised, right? The BCS would have given us Florida State, Alabama. So that is an improvement.
There you go.
Hey, so, you know, say that Marcus does go into the draft, which a lot of us think that he does, and a lot of them have him going to Tampa Bay. And say that he does go to the Buccaneers. Could he turn that team around, or is it going to take a couple years for him to, you know, get his feet wet a little bit and get into the NFL groove?
I think we need to be careful to not let what Cam Newton did and what Andrew Luck did and Robert Griffin III did, Russell Wilson in their rookie years, skew the curve to grade rookie quarterback. So I think the expectations should be low to begin with, although that being said, you give him Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, that's a good start. It also would be a question of who Lovie Smith could bring in to really make an offense to embrace his skill set. But I do think he'll be the first quarterback off the board, and I think you're not going to see him fall. The Jets would be the absolute farthest he would fall.
Wow.
Sigmund Bloom joining us here in the trenches on ESPN700sports.com. Sigmund, you're there out of Austin. You're familiar with the Cowboys and the Lions and that game, and, of course, everybody's talking about that. Picked up, well, what was originally a pass interference call. What are your thoughts on that? Was that the right call?
I don't know if it was the right call. I think the big boo-boo here is changing the call after you announce it. We're all used to the idea that the refs will get together, huddle up, and make a decision based on everybody's input, but not after they announce the flag and mark off the yardage. Now, that being said, it wasn't the end of the game. There were many, many plays that Detroit could have made to save that game for them. So that's not – football games don't ever really come down to one play. There are plays that lead up to that. I believe Detroit got that 14-0 lead and tried to make that hold up, and that never works on the road in the playoffs. So really, I think they only have themselves to blame. That being said, this will persist for a few days. I suppose when you won one playoff game in 57 years, it's kind of hard to get over it. That being said, Detroit made a better show than they did the last time around in the playoffs against New Orleans. Things are going in the right direction. It's going to sting. That being said, you know, Detroit not being able to close out that game, I don't know if they were truly a serious playoff contender, and it will be fascinating to see how Dallas does with their newfound life.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom joining us, co-owner and partner of footballguys.com. You can find him on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom, and just playing off a little bit with this. Implications, though, moving forward with it. Like you said, I mean, I'm only 30 right now, but honestly, in watching my NFL games here, I've never seen a play like that. I mean, maybe there has been a couple plays where the ref has actually thrown the flag and announced it, but to me, that was the... Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. That was the biggest boo-boo, is that should be probably your kind of cutoff to say, okay, we announced it, now we can't retract it. And
right.
Again, I don't remember the last time that's ever happened in the NFL. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I can't recall it.
It feels unprecedented. Now, that being said, let's remember that earlier in the week, Ndamukong Suh was suspended for the game, and that flag was picked up after the fact, too. And it wasn't because they bought his explanation, at least according to Ted Cottrell, right, which is that they thought that was, which was really funny. It was so cold I couldn't feel my feet. So that the Lions also benefited from the NFL after initial decision deciding, well, that's not fair, not in this big of a situation. But what's fascinating to me is the NFL puts together these all-star officiating crews for the playoffs. And part of the reason they do that is to avoid an appearance of impropriety. Because if you were someone with gambling interests or trying to fix a game, getting to a whole crew that had been together the entire season is much easier than getting at a bunch of officials that were put together for a team just for the playoffs. So that's probably led to the miscommunications or lack of clarity and revising that flag after it was announced. So the very measure they took to avoid an appearance of impropriety created impropriety. That being said, look, come Saturday and Sunday, this will all be a distant memory.
Speaking of Saturday and Sunday, Sigmund, what are one of the playoff matchups? And I know that your eyes are going to be on all the games, but you've got to have have one of the matchups to you that you're really, really pumped about.
I think that Carolina is being underestimated in Seattle. As long as Cam Newton can limit mistakes, both of these teams want to play the same sort of game. They want to rely on winning in the trenches. They want to rely on their running game. Want to rely on a stifling defense. And Carolina's secondary has really come a long way. Josh Norman and the rookie Ben Wickery. And it isn't like Seattle has any great weapons in the passing game. And we've seen these games they played 16-12, 13-9. Now, sure, they've all been in Carolina, but these teams are similarly built and like to play a similar game. And I see Seattle as an 11.5-point favorite. I mean, the winner of the game may not score much more than 11.5 points. As long as Cam Newton can limit mistakes, this one's going to be a nail-biter. I think this is not a good matchup for Seattle. Cam Newton can extend plays. He can run. And he can create where, just like, we can look at last year's playoffs. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Colin Kaepernick took it right to the brink in Seattle. So because he could extend plays, it was with his legs, it was his passing outside of the pocket. As a pocket passer, you're not going to defeat the Seattle defense. But if you can throw some things at them, some unpredictable things like Cam Newton can, and let's remember, Cam Newton had a near-death experience. Speaking, you know, like the Cowboys
right.
did
yeah,
last
true.
Week. He had a near-death experience, and that can be, it can release tension. It can give you a sense of playing with house money, and certainly going into the playoffs with a losing record can give you that. So if any team can go into Seattle and ignore all the forces that should be telling them you can't win this game, I think Carolina could.
The Colts get it done against the Cincinnati Bengals. Peyton Manning's going to be facing his former Colts team that he won a Super Bowl with in Denver. What's it going to take for the Colts to be able to go and get the upset in that one?
Andrew Luck. And he can do it. He can do it. He can put the team on his shoulders and say, follow me, we can win this game. And on the flip side, Peyton Manning in the first half of the year and Peyton Manning in the second half of the year have been two totally different quarterbacks. And dare I say, you know, at the end of this game, if I could have one of these two quarterbacks in one drive to win the game, it'd be Andrew Luck. So this one will be fascinating. Denver tends to come out. And in general, we should watch all four of the home teams because the bye hasn't been as much of an advantage as it originally was when this new format of the playoffs was introduced. And we've seen a lot of bye teams go down. They come out flat. They come out lacking that intensity at the beginning, take a little while to get warmed up. And that can be lethal, a slow start for any one of these teams. And even though the spreads make these look like lopsided matchups, none of these games are gimmies. None of these games are games that any of these teams should cruise to victory. So I think this is going to be a much more interesting weekend than people may be looking forward to.
Right. And that's kind of the funny thing with the spread, too, because you look at it and it's like, say the Broncos do win by 7. It doesn't seem like a big blowout, but when you're talking about betting, it seems like a big number. But But going back to that Seattle Panthers, I don't understand the 10.5 again. Maybe because Seattle's at home, but I don't know. Like you said, Week 8, Panthers and Seahawks play to a 13-9 game. The year before that, played to a 12-9 game or 12-6 or 12-7, something like that.
Right.
So, like you said, they've always been close games. Now, turning attention maybe to the other two games here: Ravens, Patriots, and Cowboys, Packers. Who really has, in your opinion, the best upset special there? Is it plainly to see the Ravens just because of their recent success?
Is it even an upset if the Ravens win, honestly? I mean, John Harbaugh is 2-1 against the Patriots in the playoffs in his career. The one was the game that Lee Evans dropped the game-winning touchdown and Billy Cundiff shanked the game-tying field goal. So really, he's 2-1, and it took multiple failures by his players for it to be 2-1 instead of 3-0, or have a good shot at 3-0. And there's been a lot of roster turnover. These aren't the same Ravens and Patriots teams that played those games, but don't think that that doesn't matter. And it helps, you know, Dean Pease, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, used to be the defensive coordinator for the Patriots. There's a lot of familiarity here, and the Ravens are not going to be an easy out. In the Joe Flacco, John Harbaugh era, they have not been an easy out in the playoffs. They have a pass rush now. They have a running game. Joe Flacco is back to radiating that calm, almost, you know, oblivious to the stakes in these games. They're going to go into New England, and they're going to give New England all they can handle. And that game is probably going to come down to the last possession, because that's how the Ravens play in the playoffs.
Sigmund Bloom with us for a few more minutes right here on ESPN700Sports.com in the trenches. Sigmund's the co-owner and partner of footballguys.com. And he also knows his stuff, guru, NFL draft guru. And if you don't know what footballguys.com is, it's a excellent, excellent fantasy football site as well, and just a tons of content, so definitely get to there. But I kind of wanted to play more with this Ravens-Patriots, and you mentioned Joe Flacco here. Why does that guy not maybe get the respect that he should garnish? He's got a 10-4 postseason record, and honestly, you compare him against all eight quarterbacks this week, I would put him in the top four, but I don't know if a lot of people would.
He has plenty of bad games during the regular season. There was a game Baltimore had, you know, less than a month ago, where they had a chance to keep control of their own destiny, and at Houston, and he was terrible. He was absolutely horrible in that game. So you see him have some games, some very mediocre or poor games in the regular season, but he generally plays better football in the postseason than the regular season. He got a big contract. A lot of people want to compare it to the contract, but the reality is, now that we've seen Andy Dalton's contract and Colin Kaepernick's contract, if you're above the line, if you're an adequate NFL starter, you're going to get $12 or $15 million a year, Alex Smith. So I do think that it's easy for people to look at him and say he's not the quarterback that any Rodgers and Romo and Brady and Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, he doesn't belong in the conversation with these guys. But he has that ring, and that is important because it means his guys believe that they can win the Super Bowl. Steve Smith said it's nice to be on a team that believes they can win the Super Bowl. And remember, Steve Smith, when he was with the Panthers, when they were making some runs in the playoffs, was almost unstoppable. It took Chicago, I think, that one year, triple teaming him, basically, to shut him down. So that's going to be fascinating to see if he matches up with Darrell Revis. Certainly, you know, Torrey Smith has gotten healthy in time. Owen Daniels is looking better. They have some weapons there to create some mismatches. And Flacco has it's more than the arm. He's not afraid of making mistakes. He's not afraid that the game is on him. And we've seen that with the Ravens performing very well in the playoffs while he's been their quarterback.
So now going on to the Packers-Cowboys game, obviously the Cowboys are on fire right now, especially as of late. So are the Green Bay Packers, even though they had a little bit of a bump against the Bills towards the end of the season. Sigmund, playing the Green Bay Packers, is this pretty much the one team that can truly stop the Cowboys' run right now?
Possibly. I mean, this one's going to be a heavyweight 15-round bout, assuming Tony Romo doesn't have one of his patented December-January performances. Green Bay tends to come out a little flat in that first game. You know, we saw them the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl. They were heavily favored. Things never clicked. They were tight. I do think one thing that could change that for them, though, is Eddie Lacy. And you look at the way Eddie Lacy's been used this year. There are a lot of games where he had 12 carries, 13 carries, 15 carries through the middle of the season. But come December, you saw Eddie Lacy getting 26 carries in the game to win the division. You saw even back in November against Minnesota, against New England, 25 carries, 21 carries. He's their cold weather back. He's the guy that they can use to balance the game. And really, I think we could see the running backs be the story of this game, Murray and Lacy, even though it's about the quarterbacks when we look at it at first glance. So I think Eddie Lacy is going to be a calming effect on this offense, and he's playing terrific football right now. So that's a big, big difference from this team than compared to the Green Bay teams we've seen in recent past in the playoffs.
Good stuff, Sigmund. Thank you very much. honestly, this is it's getting better and better as we move along here with divisional matchups, and then we'll have the championship matchups and everything. But of these two, let's see. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but who do you obviously see matching up of the AFC and NFC championship here?
Well, the fascinating thing here is this: if Seattle can win, Green Bay looked just terrible when they came into Seattle earlier this year, but Dallas won. So Dallas can come in almost with a mental edge in that game. But I do think if Seattle, I think Carolina actually is the toughest matchup based on the team blueprints and styles of the three opponents remaining in the NFC side of the bracket. So I think if they can get through Carolina, and I would still give them, 60-70% chance of winning that game at least. I think Seattle's, this is a team on a historic roll right now. On the AFC side, I think it's going to be the winner of the New England-Baltimore game. I really don't think Peyton Manning I think Peyton Manning's basically peaked at this point with the Broncos. And I think with Indy, it's just not enough. Andrew Luck can't do it all by himself. Can he win two games? Maybe. Can he take his team to the Super Bowl on his own? That's a tall order.
Yeah, relying on guys like Heron, right? I mean, maybe if you had Ahmad Bradshaw like you did earlier in the year, they're definitely formidable. Yeah.
So it's changed a lot with now. So we'll see.
So now pick Super Bowl. Who wins the ultimate prize?
I can't pick against Seattle. I mean, I still think there's a decent chance, there's a reasonable chance more than most people say they get upset this weekend. But the thing about Seattle is more than any one particular player, although Marshawn Lynch it can be that difference maker, this is a team that has avoided or should avoid, because I think what we got the last eight Super Bowl winners haven't won a playoff game in the following year. So if they can end that sort of Super Bowl curse, and they've already been it. They've already shaken off the Super Bowl hangover where everyone was coming at them. Remember, there was a point in the middle of the season where we're saying, ooh, is Seattle going to miss the playoffs?
Yeah, it's 6-4, and then they rattle off six in a row.
Exactly. So that tells me this team knows how to get the best out of themselves. This team knows how to pick each other up. You know, if it's not Russell Wilson, then it's Marshawn Lynch. If it's not Lynch, then it's the defense. It's really, really hard to pick against Seattle because they know what it takes, and they've shown in the recent past that they can take it all the way home.
There you go. Well, maybe we can check in with you a little bit closer as we get closer to the Super Bowl. But
I'd love that.
Yeah, greatly appreciate it, Sigmund. And again, check Sigmund Bloom out on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. He's the co-owner and partner of footballguys.com, and occasionally we'll join the Bill and OC show as well. So, again, thanks a lot, Sigmund, and we'll talk to you down the road.
My great pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.